Give our hearty praise. Of this story this week, and I just couldn't get it off my heart, and I knew it was for someone tonight. And it's when Jesus calms the sea, and there's someone here tonight and you feel like you're caught in a storm, and you kind of feel like the disciples feel. But I'm going to read it to you first. As evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind. Soon a fierce storm came. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Peace, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the winds and waves obey him." There's some of you here tonight and you're facing a storm. It might be a storm that you feel like you brought upon yourself, or it might be a storm that just happened to come. But I want you to know that Jesus has never left your boat. He's still there right with you. And you may feel like the disciples are. "Jesus, don't you know that I'm going through this storm? Jesus, don't you know that I need healing in my body? Don't you know that I need deliverance? Jesus, don't you know?" I have good news tonight. Jesus knows. He's in the boat with you. If you run to him and you build up your faith and you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, he's going to rise up and he's going to speak, "Peace, be still." I'm going to ask you to do something you might feel a little uncomfortable with. If you're facing a storm, or if there's something that's just been really heavy upon you this week, I want you to step out of your seat and come down into these aisles. As Pastor was preaching this morning, there are some people in this room and they have gone through some hard things, but they have great faith and they wanna come and they wanna pray with you and they wanna lay hands on you. They wanna encourage you. They wanna put their arm around you and build you up and believe and just speak over your storm in the name of Jesus. Peace, be still. Tonight can be the night of change for you. Tonight can be the night of difference. So just yield to the Holy Spirit tonight. Put any pride aside and just come forward as we declare this over you tonight. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Jesus has spoken. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Jesus has spoken.
Peace, be still. Peace, be still.
Jesus has
spoken. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Peace, be still.
Jesus has spoken.
Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Jesus has spoken. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Jesus has spoken. Oh, peace, be still. Peace, be still. Jesus has spoken. Peace, be still. Oh, peace, be still.
Peace, be still.
Jesus has spoken. As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance, everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another valley, it's out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat.
Searched until I found you, and I'll do it all again.
where I brought you from. Just take a look behind you at how far you've come. And every time I asked you, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking all that I wouldn't see through? Said I walked on the water.
To the wind, it hushed and it gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue?
Didn't I hear you when you
I walked right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sins?
I searched until I found you, and I do it.
Little thing for you, oh, and I'll give you so much love.
Said I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace.
Didn't I kneel to the rescue? Too hard. I am the shepherd, and I am the door. I am the good news to the bound and the poor. And I am. I am.
I am.
I am. Righteous one, I am the lamb, I am the ram in the bush for Abraham. I am the ultimate sacrifice for sin. I am your Redeemer, the beginning and the end. I am, I am. I am the high priest, I am the Christ, I am the resurrection, I am the life.
I am.
Just show a little. sacrifice for sin. I am your Redeemer, beginning and the end. I am the bread, I am the wine, I am your future, so leave your past behind. I am the one in the midst of two or three. I am your tabernacle.
Let your name be lifted higher, be lifted.
Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord of all.
Let's lift our voice up and begin to praise Him, if you would, please. Let's lift your voice. Begin to magnify God. He's here today. Let's worship Him. Praise Him. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We never tired of giving God thanks. Come on. We never tired of giving Him honor. We're going to do this for eternity. You can do it for a minute here. God, we honor You. You're a mighty God. God, You're worthy of all the honor. We love You tonight. We love Your presence. God, we respond to Your presence with praise, worship, thanksgiving. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that the burden is being lifted off somebody right now. We thank You that You're in the storm. Amen. You're in the storm of sickness. You're in the storm of poverty. You're in the storm of attacks. But God, You rise up. You change the storm and You heal us. You provide and You defend. We thank You, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Now, there are some here that church is new to you. You don't know what these kind of services are like. And there are some of you that this is not new to you. And you know what you're supposed to do in services like this. But you know, there are times and moments. Is this not sounding right? I see Alfie's got his head down. He's working as hard as he can. I'll take that microphone. That's all right. How's that? Hey, you did good, Alfie. I sound better all of a sudden. Good job. Poor guy. He's doing everything he can. You only got 10 fingers, but he's using all of them back there. But there are moments like this that God just kind of gets in and says, I know what certain people in the service need. And maybe you're here and you say, well, I'm not getting anything out of this. Well, it ain't for you. I don't know if you know this, but not every service is about you. If it's not for you, then you're here to pray for somebody else, right? So that's how services work. But how many just thank God that He can just move into a service anytime He wants to and says, all right, I got something to say. I got something to do. Would you take your Bibles and open the book of Psalms, if you would? I'm going to just speak to you for about 15 minutes because what the Lord shared with me lines up with what has already been shared here. So, yeah, singers, you can go. Musicians, you can stay. And I just want to go to some scripture. Can we just go to the Word for a minute tonight? I believe it'll help you and strengthen our faith. In us, because you can forget a feeling and forget something somebody said, but the Word, you can always go back to it. Amen? While you're getting that out, I'll just again back up what Vinny said earlier. Get your friend day Easter cards out there. There's still a lot of them left out there. A lot have been taken, but a lot have left. Take them. And then I'll just encourage you. I always have a bunch of these business cards. I call them business cards. They're church cards. I leave them in my wallet, and every time I see somebody I want to talk to about the Lord or just share with the church, I leave that with them. Or if you want to get $50 at Longhorn Steakhouse, you can put that business card right in there. Okay. Wow. Psalm 91, verse 1, if you would go there with me. Psalm 91, Psalm 29. Did I say 91? He that hath an ear, let him hear me say Psalm 29, verse 1. Because that is a good psalm, but I haven't got anything to say about it. All right. Psalm 29, verse 1. Says these words, give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's going to talk you over this, if you would, please. And then you can be seated. Thank you. God's going to talk you over this. God's going to talk you over this. Psalm 29, verse 1, the psalmist is saying that we ought to give God all our glory and we ought to give God all our strength. That doesn't mean give God the glory like credit. Everybody's got glory. Everybody's got talents. Everybody's got skills. But God says, I want you to take your gifting and give it to me, and then I want you to give me all your strength. I need somebody to hear me say this tonight. God's not satisfied with 50% effort. God's not satisfied with 90% effort. You are. Your mom is. But God says, I want you to give me everything that you've got. And I'll tell you why. The Bible says that weariness comes when we don't hear the voice of God. Isaiah was told to prophesy to the people, and God said, I want you to speak a word in season to those who are weary. I can assure you that when people who are discouraged and defeated, and maybe that happened in this altar, came to the altar facing a storm, but when God speaks to you, how many have ever had God take a hold of you and speak to you, and what you walked into with great despair, you walked out of with great strength? When God says something to you, it's almost like a boy finally getting a love letter from a girl that he likes. He's kind of down, but when he reads it, it gives him hope for a better tomorrow, right? I don't know if it will be, but that's what he thinks it'll be. Verse 2, keep your Bible open. I won't preach out of it. I like to. Verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Why? Verse 3, the voice of the Lord. Say that with me, the voice of the Lord. David says the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. So David now begins to say, I'm going to compare natural elements with the voice of God. David says, I'm going to take elements that are common only to the earth, and I'm going to show you these great elements that are not the invention of man, but they are the creation of God, and they are powerful, but they're not more powerful than the voice of God. And if I'm going to speed this up tonight, I've just got to tell you that in summary, whatever you're facing tonight will shrink when you hear the voice of God. And I feel like I want to prophesy it, and if you'll receive it, then let's just see what God will do with it. But sometimes we and I preach it too, we just say, there's some things you got to go through. But I want to suggest to you tonight that God is saying, you can go through it if you want to, but if you hear my voice, I'll pick you up and I'll carry you over it. Hallelujah. I think what we need to hear tonight is that when the voice of God is active and our ears are tuned, what other Christians in the same row go through, you're not going to go through it, you're going to go over it. Wow. God's voice is over many waters. Praise God. That word in the Hebrew, over, means he's literally sits on the water. Why is he sitting on the water? Well, I could tell you, as an individual who can't swim, that means more to me than maybe to my wife, because she can. And 99% of you probably, can you guys all swim? You can, I hate you. I can tell you that God can swim, but he doesn't have to. More reason I want to be like God. I want to be over the waters. But please hear what I'm telling you. What David is saying is, when you're in a situation that you feel like you're drowning, I can't catch my breath, I'm surrounded, I don't have any natural ability to get over this. Guess what? When you hear the voice of God, the very thing you think is going to drown you, the voice of God will be like a life jacket. Better than that, a hovercraft. And he'll pick you up out of that water. And even though everybody in the routes is going through it, you're saying, you know what? I don't feel the effects of this thing. It must be the voice of God that's active in my life. Verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. I'm almost there. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. When he's referring to the cedars of Lebanon, he's referring to these groves that were built to show as demarcations, barriers, and barricades. In other words, he's saying whatever thing is drowning you, you feel like you can't breathe, you feel like you can't survive this, the voice of God all of a sudden breathes in you and you get lifted up out of it. Secondly, he says any kind of bondage, barrier, or limitation in your life, the moment God speaks to you, you're able to break over that thing, because he whom the Son makes free is free indeed. The voice of God is powerful in whatever is against you. The voice of God is powerful when somebody stands on this platform. When Heather was reading out of Mark tonight, I could just sense, just hearing the word of God, though you've not seen the results yet, begins to do something that breaks open inside of you. That's why you need to be in a church where there's an anointed
worship, and there's anointed preaching, and there's anointed teaching, and there's anointed leadership. Because in a service that God speaks to you, you didn't even plan on hearing him. When God begins to speak to you in that service, guess what happens? The bondages and the hindrances begin to break. Verse 6. Here's a good one. He makes them also skip like a calf. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord just says you're going to be like nothing more clumsy than a skipping calf. I don't find very many football teams, their logo, their mascot. Hey, we're the calves. Calves, not calves. I know there's the calves. We're the calf, right? Like somebody dressed up like a calf is just kind of... You ever seen a calf walk? Y'all city people, y'all looking at me like you're bored. Go home. I didn't ask you to come here. You ever seen the calf? They just kind of... And this is what God says. You get to run like a calf. Well, some of you might. But why would he say, boy, that's a privilege to run like a calf? One, when the voice of God comes, he gives you stamina. You get a calf in the right place, he'll run all day. But secondly, you know, a calf is very nimble. I don't know if you knew this, Jordan, but there are bones in your legs that didn't harden until you were 4 years old. The reason being, God knew that you would walk like a calf when you were 2 years old. Yes, yeah, really unstable. God in his brilliance knew that up until you're age 4, you ought to be able to walk by the time you're age 4. And up until then, there are going to be times that you'll fall down. And you need to be able to fall down without breaking. What God is saying here is that when the voice of God comes, when you feel like you're drowning, he'll pick you up. When the voice of God comes, he'll break you through the barriers. And when the voice of God comes, you don't have to fear falling down. Because if you do stumble, guess what? God will pick you up. He's not going to drag you through your failure. He's not going to drag you through your backsliding. He'll pick you up and he'll give you strength to go over it. How many know you're not going to have it perfect every day? But even if you don't get it right, God's not going to beat you up. He says, get back up. You may have fallen, but you're not destroyed. If failure isn't final, come on somebody. The voice of God reminds you, you're still in the fight. Keep your gloves on. The bell hasn't rung. Fight on. The voice of the Lord, verse 7, divides the flames of fire. Fire, throughout the Bible, is likened to temptation. So if you can get over the drowning by the voice of God, then you can get through the barriers by the voice of God. You can have resiliency with the voice of God. Look at this. You can have victory over sin. Amen. You should say, next time I'm going to say that one more time. Just say amen so your neighbor doesn't think that you're having a problem with this. You know, the voice of God gives you victory over sin. Oh, wow, that was quite a reaction. I didn't expect that. When sin comes, it's like a fire. And look what he says. He can get right into the fires of temptation and divide them. How many of you have ever had a problem with a dog that wouldn't stop barking? A barking dog. You can put a muzzle on the barking dog and the dog doesn't bark. But how many know the bark is still in the dog? And sometimes religion is just a muzzle on the Christian. They're good in church. But you meet them in the parking lot and you just want God to put that muzzle back on them. Come on, some of God's sheep bite. And if they have enough rules and enough regulations, then they will just behave. But the moment you take some of those rules and regulations off them, they go buck wild. You know why? Because they're only constrained by regulations. They're not constrained by the voice of God. But when you have the voice of God in you, you don't bite because you shouldn't. You don't bite because you don't want to. I don't drink because I don't want to. I don't commit adultery because I don't want to. Come on, somebody. I'm not doing the right thing because I have to or I'm trying to keep up appearances. I found out the way of the wicked is terrible. And I found the way of the righteous gets better by the day. To me, being living right is the smartest thing I've ever done. And sometimes when we get in temptation, we've got to decide, are we going to listen for the voice of God? And if you will, please hear what I'm going to tell you. The Bible promises that for every temptation, God is giving you a way of escape. But sometimes you need to hear a command from God and know where it is. Well, if God didn't want me to commit that sin, he was screaming. He was screaming. And maybe you're not dealing with temptation today. Maybe you're not dealing with weakness today. But I'm going to tell you, be acquainted with the voice of God today, because when somebody coming along looks good, but it's sin, you want the Holy Ghost to tell you, beep, 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 watch out, Delilah's coming. Look out, look out, look out, there's a pit. Look out, there's a trap. Okay, the voice of the Lord will help you. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen. All right. The voice of God will increase your desire. Verse 8. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The wilderness is not punishment. The wilderness is a test. Abraham was tested by God when God said, I want you to take your only son Isaac and sacrifice him. If you read that story, and I'm nearly done, we don't read that God tells Abraham where you're going. He just says, go. Because when we go by the leading of the voice of God, it's not about the destination. It's about what he's doing in us on the way. I know that this isn't popular, and I don't know that you care for the popular, so I guess it doesn't really matter, but I need you to understand, there are testing times. How many of you have ever been in a test? And I want to encourage somebody today, because I've seen it happen over and over again. If you're in a test, listen well, because God promises if you'll pass the test, he's going to lift you up over that wilderness like you've never experienced. I feel that somebody, I don't know, maybe that's for four people, but somebody's in a test today, and your reaction will determine your reward. That's good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I know you're nerved up and you're stressed out and you feel the pressure, but I'm going to tell you, whatever the test, I don't know if it's sin, I don't know if it's doing the right thing, I don't know if it's your attitude, I don't know if it's an opportunity that you can get in, but if you will pass the test, I'm going to tell you something, favor will come to your life. Now, two things. One, I've never learned how to shorten a test from God. Let me ask you again one more time. I am nearly done. You'd think I would be after I've said enough. How many of you have been tested? Raise your hand again. Let me just see. I want to just see if I'm preaching. Okay, I'm speaking to the majority. Then please, I think you'll understand, you can do nothing to shorten the test. So chill thyself out. You can't shorten a test. You can't shorten a test. Number two, but you sure enough can lengthen one. That is such bad news. You can't shorten the test. If God says, look, Abraham, this is what, I'm not changing my mind until you get to the place that you've passed the test. But if Abraham would have kept making excuses, the test would have lasted longer. Right? You're putting off going to the dentist. Well, there's no benefit to that. No, I'm not saying God told me to tell you that, but I'm just using an example. Unless you cannot shorten the test, but you can lengthen it. How many would not want to go one more day longer than you have to? Amen. Students say, yeah. Verse 9, the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare in his temple. Everyone says glory. What does that mean? I have no idea. Verse 10. Honestly, I've studied that. I'm like, I don't get it. I don't get it. Do you, Wayne? Go back. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. Well, praise God. Hunting season's coming up. All glory to the Savior. Verse 10, moving on. The Lord said, when's the last time you went to church and the preacher admitted, I don't get that one? Verse 10, the Lord sat enthroned at the flood. You guys can play now. Yeah, thank you. I know what it means. The deer gives birth. That means you play the instruments. It's Hebrew. Yes, the Hebrew. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood. Wait a minute. Remember the first one we talked about? The first part we said, God will keep you from feeling like you're drowning. A drowning means one person is going down, but a flood means everybody's going. Drowning is coming from one direction. A flood is affecting everything. Drowning then is when one person is hurting. The flood is when your whole environment is being affected. It's like you could have one bad day at work, but it's different when you go to work and everybody's having a bad day. It's like, it's one thing when one family member's hurting. It's another thing when the whole family environment's starting to crack. I struggle to communicate this to you, but I'm going to do the best I can. But somebody's here tonight and you feel like it's coming at you from every direction. But I got good news for you. He is still enthroned over the flood. Amen. And the beautiful thing about drowning, one person gets helped. The beautiful thing about breaking through barriers, one person gets helped. The beautiful thing about getting the calf, one person gets helped. The beautiful thing about the fire, one person gets helped over sin. But the beautiful thing about the flood is that not only do you overcome, but everybody that's in that flood with you overcomes. Come on, somebody. In other words, because somebody's sitting here thinking, you know, this is nice, but I'm doing fine. But my spouse and my kids and my grandkids and my neighbors and my workplace and my ministry and my community, we're all struggling. I got good news. He's over everything that's in your life, and he's over everything that's in their life. If your child is backslidden, he's still bigger than that. If your marriage is hurting, he's still bigger than that. If your business is struggling, he's still bigger than that. Boy, everybody that's in my position is struggling. Yeah? Well, if everybody's struggling, then everybody can get help. Because when God, in fact, what I'm talking about is a revival. When the flood comes in from the enemy, the Spirit of the Lord can raise a standard. And I'm not just praying that somebody gets a revival. I pray Charleston Church has an outpouring of the Spirit of God that we begin to see everybody helped, everybody blessed, everybody healed, everybody strengthened, everybody full of joy. Come on, somebody. Everybody gets something in this thing. Not just him, not just her, but everybody there, 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 and there. How many believe that God can do something everybody in the church gets blessed by? Verse 11. Got to prim and proper. You never know, it might be somebody dignified watching online. Verse 11. Look what happens. This is beautiful. Stand. Remind me that I'm quitting. Stand, if you would, please. Are you ready? Watch this. Come front. Come down front. Come on. Join me. You've been sitting there too long. Come on, close. Paul Rogers looks so handsome tonight, I want you to see him up close. What's going to happen when I go down there? Something good. Something good. Praise God. Take your time. Some of you need to have calf legs, I can tell you right now. Lord, give it. You need to hear the voice of the Lord say, pick him up now, friend. Pick him up. All right, you ready? Watch this. Hey, bud. You doing all right? You need to hear the voice of the Lord, don't you? Not because of problems, but you just want to hear the voice of the Lord. You've been really seeking for the Lord to just speak to you, haven't you? Yeah. Lord, I pray that you'll touch Kyle. Lord, let him hear your voice. God, I saw him this morning. I felt your spirit. God, there's an anointing on this man's life. Great anointing. Great touch of God on your life. And the voice of God has just been kind of dim. You've been hearing him, but it's just been not what you want. But you want God to turn the volume up tonight. I pray, Holy Spirit, turn the volume up. Lord, not only turn the volume up, but let him hear every frequency. The voice of God. You're not drowning. And you're not going to go through what other people said you're going to go through. God's voice is going to pick you up. You're going to get over that in Jesus' name. Praise God. Here's what's beautiful. Alan, when you hear the voice of God when you feel like you're drowning, and when you hear the voice of God when you break through barriers, and you hear the voice of God when you get your agility back, and when you hear the voice of God and, memory, don't fail me now, and you're overcoming temptation, and when you hear the voice of God and you pass the test, and you hear the voice of God and everything connected you gets affected by the presence of God. This is what God says will happen to you. And great strength and peace come to you. See, hearing the voice of God is not about a moment. Hearing the voice of God is about building character. We want the voice of God to get out of trouble, get out of jail. God wants you to hear the voice of God to get into another person, to become different. You hearing what I'm saying, Josh? When you go through all these things, you know what God is saying? So that when you get so acquainted with His voice, when you think that when everything around you is not right, guess what? When everybody else is getting weak, you're getting strong. And when everybody else is losing their mind, you're chilling out. The Lord says, chilleth thyself out. Taketh thyself a chill pill. Thus saith Matt Ward. That word peace means whole, nothing missing. How many of you then believe Psalm 29? How many believe that it's true? Stephen, the voice of God. The voice of God. You can hear. You know, there are some people that are a little bit, they just, I don't know, maybe they're wired to hear God better. I believe that God's wired you to hear God really well. I know why, because you've got a tremendous compassion for people. Honestly. Next to your ability to grow facial hair is your compassion. And it's admirable. I would if I could. But she says I can't. But you got a tremendous heart for people. You really do. You combine that heart with being able to hear the voice of God. Oh, good night. Turn the lights off. You'll be a tremendous blessing to so many people. I believe that you are now. But don't give up. The enemy will try to stop you from hearing that precious voice. And while everybody else is going to have fire and thunder, all you need is that still small voice.
Come on, that's good.
Just that nudge. Just that nudge. Just that nudge. How many of you have found out God nudges you more than He does knock you over? How many would rather He knocked you over? Like, God, is that as hard as you can hit? Like, God hits me about as hard as that future governor did this morning. I want Him to hit me like Mike Tyson. That's what I want. But you know what? You don't have to trust God when He knocks you out. Sky, you know what I mean. You have to trust God when it's just one step in front of the other. Just one step in front of the other, right? It's just one step in front of the other. That's all you got, but that's all it takes. One step in front of the other. Chrissy, it's one step in front of the other. That's all it is. One step. You don't have to figure out 10 steps. Isn't that a good thing? It would be nice because we'd feel comfortable. But if you just let God guide one step after another, one step after the other. Would you just begin now to just pray and just ask the Holy Spirit? Because this really is the Holy Spirit speaking to you, right? If you're like a non-Holy Ghost person, then just keep your ears plugged. Because God's got nobody else on the earth to talk to you through. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, how many of you want to become acquainted with the person, not the person of the Holy Spirit? Would you just lift your hands and begin to say, I receive you. This is not worship, this is reception. I receive you, Holy Spirit. Some of you need direction for your life. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost knows how to tell you, and He knows what to tell you. Begin to, Holy Spirit, we're receptive to you tonight. We receive the counsel of heaven, the wisdom of heaven. Hallelujah. You built us, Lord. You built us to live hearing your voice. And I give you thanks for that tonight. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. Now, we could get real practical, and maybe there's a time we should, but you can hear God through the Word. You can hear God through worship. You can hear God through His people, through the fivefold ministry. But here's what I've found is the greatest thing I can say to you about hearing God's voice. You just got to get acquainted with Him. For a while, His voice will sound like your mom or dad. For a while, His voice will sound like people that you've heard preach, maybe. But I've learned, like Samuel, after a while, you just get familiar. How do I get familiar with my wife's voice? I've spent 25 plus years. I know what she says. She knows what I'm thinking. We're quite a team. Anybody else got a wife that knows what you're thinking better than you know? She knows you're thinking it and you're not thinking it, but then you begin to think, you know, I must be thinking it. Because she just said it. And now you're thinking it, and she was right all the time, right, Andy? They never lose. They always win. You know, I can't tell you. This is what I found out. You know how Abraham got his voice? He just learned it on the way. Right, Joanne? You just got to learn it on the way. Right, Dalton? You've never had to hear God's voice like you've had to the past couple years, but you're learning it along the way. And when you hear his voice, guess what? That's what you're going through. You're getting great strength, and you're getting great peace. And so is Lois. Joel and April, you guys did. You knocked the ball out of the park. You knocked the ball out of the town this morning when you testified. That was powerful. Jesus is kind of a big deal. I like that. That's an awesome shirt. But if you just keep hearing the voice of God, you know why, April, you have so much more strength and peace now than when we first met you a few years ago? You've gotten acquainted with the voice of God. And you found out the devil's a liar. Some of you hear voices, but they ain't telling you the truth. Oh, I want to hear the voice of the Lord. So that's why I'm gonna quit. That's why every one of you must have the voice of the Lord directionally, but you'll never get familiar with him until you get with him devotionally. Okay, I would like to sit here, and that's what many people want. They want to come to service and somebody tell them what God says. But I'm going to tell you, and Kyle, this is what you're doing. You've been doing. I feel in my spirit. Just keep doing it. But we need to make a commitment at this altar tonight that we make quality devotional time with God. Okay, if you have a 30-minute devotional time and 20 of it's on this. And it's not on the Bible, but it's on whatever. You've not had quality devotional time. I just cannot personally have quality devotional time and have that phone within my arm's reach. I have to shut that little demon down and get out a paper Bible and read a paper Bible. And I can tell you, after 30 minutes of no phone makes you want another 30. I don't care if you're reading a comic book. But I get more from God out of a comic book than I do the phone. Got to shut that bugger down and say, guess what, Lord? I just want to read your word. I don't have to have you tell me deep revelations. I don't need to know what the pinky toe on the vision that Daniel had of the golden statue. I don't need it. What I need to know is, should I quit work? That's what I need to know. And if you take 50, I do PRW. PRWs, pray, read, and worship. You do whatever order you want. Start 5, 5, 5. 5 minutes prayer, 5 minutes reading, 5 minutes worship. Go to 10, 10, 10, 10. Go to 15, 15, 15, 15. It's 45 minutes, is that right?
Sure.
Yes, okay, thanks for giving me an honest answer. Yeah, thanks for not being a yes man. I don't know if they had it that way in Canada, is it? Use the metric system. I knew that was coming. The last thing I'll tell you is just hear the voice of God naturally. He'll speak to you differently than he'll speak to me. But I'm not dealing with what you're dealing with. Just let him speak to you and stop making it. Well, that sounded rude. I'm not saying that you are, but I don't know. But don't complicate it. Don't complicate it, Bob. Rob, all right, that's what I believe God's saying. And then do it. Your precious girls need mom and dad to hear the voice of God. The best thing you'll ever give them, and you'll give them a lot of great things, but to give them the ability to hear the voice of God is the greatest gift they'll ever have. Because someday when you're 99 and a half years old, you might go into eternity. Well, you'll go to heaven, but those two little girls, if they know how to hear the voice of God, they've got everything they'll ever need for the rest of their lives. So don't ever feel condemned or, you know, beat up. Don't compare yourselves with anybody. If you've given them the voice of God, you've given them everything they need for life and joy, right? That's awesome. But the voice of God will always bless you too, though. And he'll always show you things. How many make a fresh commitment? I'm going to get myself devotionally set up with God. I want his voice directionally, so I'm going to get in his presence devotionally. Lord, we commit to you tonight. Lord, this is totally different. And as we conclude, God, we look forward to this week. Lord, I loved what you did here in our 21-day challenge. People fasted and prayed and got in the Word, and we saw breakthroughs. God, we don't have to wait till January. We can start that right now. Hallelujah. Oh, that we would hear your voice. Oh, that you would walk with us and talk with us. Oh, that you would be evident. And God, whatever you say, we'll say it too. We'll repeat it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I feel like ending with worship. You are Alpha and Omega.
We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
I love his presence.
You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Deuteronomy 28 starts with these words: if you'll hear the voice of the Lord and obey it, all these blessings will come upon you. But if you do not hear the voice of the Lord and obey, all these curses will come upon you. And it is possible to live an abnormally blessed life because you have an abnormal commitment to hear the voice of God. Doesn't say God will curse you. Life will. In other words, there are curse traps in life that you don't have to get caught in because the voice of the Lord will say, walk around that. Come on, I don't know about you, but I want to hear the voice of God then. I'll try that on you one more time. Just studying that today, and I don't have time, but now I'm in the altar, I can take my time. Just teasing. Deuteronomy 28 says, Brian, that if we hear the voice of God and obey, all these blessings will come upon you. You know, blessing the city, blessing the field, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, coming and going, the head, not the tail. Like, who wants to be just the head? But I don't get all that stuff, but it's just the calf stuff, too. I don't get that either, but a lot of good stuff is what he's saying. He says, you can have these things if you hear the voice of God. So stop hating people that hear the voice of God. It's just what it just comes with the package. If I hear the voice of God, he says, but if you don't hear my voice, there are curses in front of you. And I'm not giving them, God says. They're just in front of you. But I've given you a way to get around them. Hear my voice. Walk around that trap. How did you get through it? I don't know. I just heard the voice of God. He said, well, go that way. With 14 other people lying down there with excuses, arguments. You? No, I'm walking on. Because I've learned. Amen. Lord, I thank you. Let your voice be heard in this church like it's never been heard before. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Would you turn around and high five about five people and say it's going to be a great week. God bless you. I love you so much.